Hi, this is Linda Larson Schlitz, and I'm going to talk to you today about what it's like being a ditzy blonde, or in other words, attention deficit disorder. If you know anything about me, or probably a lot of other ADHD people, you know that their cars have always looked like someone lives in them, right? For over a year, I had a roll of toilet paper in my back window. Not because I went to the bathroom in my car or used it on the side of the road or anything like that, or it wouldn't have lasted a year, right? I don't know why it was there or who put it there, but when someone suggested I move it, I objected because it came in really handy when I came out of a store and I couldn't find my car. I had no idea where I'd parked my car or even what car I drove to the store. But I could always rest assured that no one anywhere in any kind of car had a roll of toilet paper in the back window. So I left it there against the objections of those who close to me who were embarrassed by having a roll of toilet paper in the back window of my car and the one that they were riding in. But I'd learned some things over the years about the realities of my ADHD. So I was what they call accommodating myself with the roll of toilet paper just to play it safe. Just having a bunch of stuff in my car in the back window just wasn't enough because the amount and type of stuff changes from day to day, so that wasn't a good enough marker for me. I learned the hard way when I lived in Phoenix, Arizona. I had finished an ordeal of getting a filling at the dentist. And I was anxious to get home, so I headed out and it was 105 degrees. It was hot. I rushed to my car with the thoughts of all I had to do when I got home, and then I saw it. My heart began to race, and I saw my stuff was gone. All my stuff that ADHD people have in their car. My heart began to race. All my stuff was gone. It wasn't in the car. It was like someone had come and cleaned it out while I was at the dentist. Who could have done that? Why would they have wanted to? It's not like I had diamond rings or anything in there, but nevertheless, my stuff was gone. So I headed back in to call the police, and they told me to go out and wait by the car. By the time I got outside, not only was my stuff gone, but the whole car was gone. Now, this takes the cake. They clean out the car before they steal it. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I caught a glimpse of a car that looked like my stolen car. No, it looked even more like the car than the stolen car looked because it had my stuff in it. Oh no, this looked like my stuff. Did the robber move my stuff to this car? Or was this? No, it couldn't be. Oh yeah, that's right. I parked over on that side. I called the police back and told them they didn't need to come. It was a false alarm. It certainly got a lot of attention and people laughing that day. Some who were really having a bad day. So I cheered them up. It was a God thing. But the toilet paper, that doesn't even always work. Now I didn't really actually get in the wrong car in Phoenix when I called the police to report my stolen. I just looked through the window and immediately saw it wasn't a trash mess. So I didn't need to try to get in the car to figure that out. When I moved back to Wausau, though, Wausau, Wisconsin, where I live now, I learned from that experience. So I looked to find ways to be able to identify my car easily, and having that roll of toilet paper in the back window really helped. But it didn't always work. On at least four occasions that I can recall, when I actually got into or at least made great attempts at the owner's disapproval, at least the ones who knew, to get the key to unlock the door of a car other than my own. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you have markers in your car to draw them to your attention. This has to do with not remembering what car you drove into the parking lot and where you parked. And then, if you do find a car that resembles yours, You still have to identify it accurately. You also have to not be zoned out into some other world and just walking mindlessly through the parking lot, texting or talking on the phone or thinking about things that distract you. Well, sometimes I drive other people's cars, like my husband's. He's got an HHR. It's burnt orange, and you wouldn't think there would be many of them in a town the size of Wausau, but there are quite a few here. And his car doesn't ever have stuff or toilet paper to identify which car is actually his. So that makes it a lot more understandable why I would have gotten confused there. Fortunately, it was late and both cars were parked quite far from the door of Shopko, so no one actually saw me fumbling around trying to get into one orange car open and then going to a different one in the lot where I was unsuccessful with the first one. Another time, I was at an AA meeting with a bunch of friends, and I was talking to one of them on my way out as I was heading to my car. Still talking, I opened the unlocked door, got in, tried to put the key in the ignition before realizing I was in his car. It was a blue Toyota, and I have a black Hyundai. He's laughing hysterically, and I laugh along with him, as usual, and head to my own car, which was parked several spaces behind him. The people at AA are such a good group of people, though. They seem to all understand that most of us are pretty screwed up, and it takes us a long time to make the connection to God and to get a handle on step 11, which is praying only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Consequently, when someone makes a mistake, there isn't the fear of going to one of them and asking for help, because you know that the great majority have been there, done that, and won't make you feel bad for making a stupid mistake. Unfortunately, that's a quality I've seen far too little of in the churches. But I have yet to find anyone who has actually done what I did one very cold winter morning at the Alano Club in Wausau. It was below zero, and needless to say, I had the heat cranked up. It was toasty warm in the car by the time I got to the AA meeting, but I was late as usual. I pulled the car into the last spot on the street and went to grab my coffee and my checkbook, and I jumped out of the car, locked the door, slammed it shut. Then it dawned on me, the car is still running. And I just locked the door. I had a spare set, but guess where they were? In the car. So one of the guys came from AA. He took me home to get my husband set. Now, that was 20 minutes later because I had stayed for the rest of the AA meeting. We got more keys made, but right now, at the moment, I only can find two of the three sets, but I am sure they will turn up somewhere. I only had one yesterday, but today I found another one under piles of clothes in my closet. So that's all good. Now, about the nice police officers, there's a lot of those out there too. You know, police officers, sometimes we just don't appreciate them the way that we should. But I'm very grateful when I think about the dozen or more police officers and other people that I've met who have unlocked my car with their little gadgets and saved me tons of money. And I otherwise would have had to pay to have those door opening lock guys come. One time I called a locksmith only to find the key wasn't in my purse after he went to all that work and I waited for 45 minutes. It was actually in my purse all along. But the last couple months, I tell you, it set a new record to the number of times I've locked my keys in the car or lost the key from the time I got out until even a few minutes later. You know, 2 weeks ago took the cake. This had happened so often, but just 2 weks ago I was up in Lac des Flambeaux, a Native American community where I go twice a month to help people find jobs. Now, this was actually the second time I'd locked my keys in the car there. But the other time I had my spare hidden on the car underneath. So I was able to get in. This time My spare was, yes, in the car, along with my mega ring set that I always put on my wrist as a bracelet, a strategy my doctor suggested. That it really works great when you actually remember to do it. I've no idea what happens to my brain between, okay, take the keys out, put it on your wrist. Take the keys out, put it on your wrist. You know, a habit, do it every time, and this will never happen. But it does, and it's so frustrating to look in the window, yes, it's still got stuff all over it, and see the keys just sitting there on the seat. For what reason did I do that? No explanation. But fortunately, I have some great people that I've been working with that find me amusing and fun to be around. So I asked them for help. With all kinds of gadgets, they pried and dug and chipped paint and bent the door to no avail. I had gone to the police department already, and they would have been happy to help, but they couldn't find their gadget to open car doors. They had no idea where this thing was. So after 15 minutes without any success, one of the guys saw a buddy down the street and he asked for his help. What chances are there that this buddy in this small town happened to be there and he had one of those gadgets right there in his truck? He came over and was able to quickly get in the car to get my keys. I had my keys and a good memory of these guys who helped for me that day. The crazy thing was that this guy, and I'm not supposed to tell this part, so it's not in my book, but this guy said, I told him that the police were supposed to have this thing and they couldn't find it. He said, hey, I didn't steal it. They left it there. So I didn't really take it. Now, whether he was kidding, I don't know. But in any event, he had one, the police didn't, and we got in. Well, fortunately, I've been working with lots of different people over the years. And lots of people have helped me, but the most memorable thing that led to the book Ditzy Blonde Faucet, It's a God Thing, which I am reading from, by the way, I'm reading actually on pages 24, 5, and 6. This is what my book is like. But this one happened at my grandson's birthday, which happened actually 3 years ago, this week. It was at my grandson Hayden's 16th birthday party. Actually, it was 2 years ago at Papa Joe's house. Well, there must have been 40 people milling around as we were all getting ready to leave for the day. I was frantically looking for the key that I knew absolutely for sure I had put in my right front pocket, but it wasn't there. Word spread quick and the masses were helping, as usual, in the search for my keys that were somewhere in the great unknown, a place that is all too familiar to those of with ADHD, which I expect that Francesca Battichelli, an awesome singer-songwriter, has either experienced herself or that she was writing about in her song, This is the Stuff That Drives Me Crazy. It's a great song. Someone looked in the window and saw a big ring of keys on my seat and suggested that I have Joe break into my car to get them. Well, Joe is the owner of Dr. Lube's. It's a really cool idea. It's a traveling oil change service that goes right to your house or office to do oil changes and transmission flushes. Joe said he'd help but I was almost positive that the key wasn't in there. I didn't want to be embarrassed to have him opening it for nothing because I remember putting it in my pocket. He checked it out anyway and I drew his attention to the many dents and gouges out of my door and window casings from the other times helpful bystanders have tried to assist me in retrieving my keys out of my car. Twice in the last month, as I said, to be exact. So I told him he didn't need to worry about it, being real careful. Everyone noticed all the stuff in my car that I had referred to earlier in my book. Now I have a wooden Santa Claus in my back window because that roll of toilet paper I used to have as a marker was needed for its intended use. So Papa Joe is gearing up to break in when the multitude crowd gathered round to watch the would-be break-in. Then, just as James pointed and asked if that wasn't a key stuck down into my pants, I looked down. Couldn't see, but sure enough, I felt a key, not in my pocket, but stuck down my pants held by my belt. Everyone busted out laughing as I thanked him. Well, someone who missed the excitement walked up just then, heard everybody laughing, and asked if we'd found the key. And I told him, yes, Papa Jim found it down my pants. Hysteria broke out, at which time my stepdaughter Mandy said, that's it, you have to write a book. Now, a lot of people would leave that experience feeling stupid, embarrassed, ashamed, angry, because people were laughing at them. I see it as a God thing, because I now have another story to add to my repertoire of amusing and humorous stories to write about, speak about, sing about, and make money with. Not that it's all about money, because it's not, but it's about doing what God created me to do, which is to be who He created me to be and inspire others to serve Him in spite of myself, my weaknesses, and my perceived shortcomings. God doesn't make junk. He didn't screw up when He made me, and He didn't make me do all the illegal drugs and drink lots of alcohol that further impaired my thinking ability. And when we do things like that to ourselves, it causes genetic changes in our offspring that causes them to have same predispositions to the same problem that we have. It is not God's fault. God put our world in motion, and He wants us to serve Him without coercion, which means that we are free to do ourselves harm and to do harm to others. But He promises to work all things together for the good for those that love Him and are called according to His purposes, which I believe we all are. So I'm grateful that I lost my key again, this time at Hayden's birthday party, because so many positive things can come of this if I choose to look at it that way. First off, number one, I was encouraged to write a book about my ADHD. Two, I realized I can make people laugh. Three, I have another story to use in my humorous speaking. Four, I have another story to write about. Number five, I was able to give a little free PR to Dr. Lube's business. Wait, I didn't mean I hope Dr. Lube will be dead, but you know what I meant. The more people I write about who know people, the more people who might buy this book to show their friends that they know somebody who has written a book about in a book. Okay, granted, this part is about money. Other people, lots and lots of you who are reading this, either are someone like me or know someone like me. And you now may be less upset about the whole losing keys, dents in cars, embarrassing moments, time lost, money spent on key-related retrieval things because you have a better understanding that it's an illness. It's all in your perspective. Change the way you think, and it will change the way you feel, and that will change the things you do. I mentioned Francesca Botticelli before, and she is a great example of someone who has taken the frustrations of life and found the good in it. And she did it with a ukulele, an instrument I learned to play from my godfather. This is the stuff. These are just a few words of her song. I lost my keys in the great unknown, and call me, please, because I can't find my phone. And then she goes on to say later, break me of impatience, conquer my frustrations. I've got a new appreciation. It's not the end of the world. So, what is Francesca saying? In essence, she's talking about the first verses I ever memorized in James 1, verses 2 to 4. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure they meant, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you'll be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. That's from the Living Bible. Thank you, Francesca, for such a great song. I learned to play it, and it is me. This is from Ditzy Blonde Fawcett, It's a God Thing. This is Linda Larson Schlitz from the Fawcett of Hope. And you can get this book at the Ex Libri Bookstore, xlibris.com, or you can get it on any other major bookstore online. So just go ahead and pick one up. Or if you want another excerpt of the book, or you want to purchase the download, which they don't have at the bookstore, go to my website at I'm not paying attention, I'm multitasking. LindaLarsonSchlitz.com. LindaLarsonSchlitz, like the beer, .com. Again, you can order from orders@xlibri.com or go to my website. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this excerpt from the Ditzy Blonde Fawcett. There is a lot more crazy stories like this, and actually how I came to having this much of a problem in my day-to-day life. How in the world did I graduate from undergrad and grad school with a 3.7 average? I tell you about it in this book. So I encourage you, especially those of you with ADD who feel like you're never going to amount to anything, or you don't dare take a step to try something different because you're an airhead, space cadet. I am. And despite the fact that I have had issues and I'm struggling to keep my business in order, I have been nominated and won the Red Cross Hero of the Year with my husband and the Athena Award for the creative work that my husband and I have done over the years. Because when you have illnesses like this, I don't call this a disability. I am differently abled. I am able to do things, but I have to do it different. And as far as staying organized, I need to have other people help me. Obviously, because the strategy of putting the ring on my wrist so I don't lock the keys in the car isn't at all. And my husband doesn't get this. Most people don't get this. Unless you have ADD, you don't understand. It's like, well, why don't you just leave yourself notes? Because I don't see them. I forget where the notes are, or I walk right past them. You know, it's just one of those things. Or if I do look at a note, I don't remember what it is by the time I get to the car. So for those of you out there, please cut the rest of us some slack. For those of you like me, get the book. It'll make you feel better, no matter what you've been through. I didn't kill myself when I felt like a complete failure in 1976. I turned to the Lord, and He made an awesome life for me because I trust Him with every day, and I laugh at the things that I cannot change. I've had the courage to change the things that I can to the best degree that I know, and I am still praying for the knowledge and the wisdom to know the difference. So pick up this book. The next one is going to be about that last thing. Praying for the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. And my next book is going to be Speak to Me, God, I'm Listening. So that if you want to know what God's plan is for you, and if it is to write your story in a book, God will tell you. If you don't know how to do that, you're going to want to pick up my next book. You're going to want to follow my posts on my blog, the Daily Meditation Minutes, and things like that. So thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. Hope you got a good laugh. And have a great day. Laugh at yourself. It's way better than being depressed.